afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And now the Astrology Hour on KFOX. Today we're going to talk about a movie that's out, because I saw a movie yesterday, and I was very impressed. So we're dedicating this topic to the movie, and we're going to call this topic The Awakening, because something is going on this planet that is very different and unlike anything that has gone on, I think, in the history of the planet, at least since Atlantis. I should have a contest and say, guess the movie, but I'm not going to have a contest because all of you are going to go out and see this movie and laugh your brains off like I did. So actually, the movie is called Chances Are, and it's starring Robert Downey Jr. and also Ryan O'Neal and just some wonderful people. And when I went to see this movie, I just went to go see it at the AMC Century 14 last night because there was nothing else I wanted to see. And there's nothing else I could see, so I just decided to see it just for the heck of it. And somebody else mentioned the movie to me last week, so I went and see it. Well, this movie is all about metaphysics and reincarnation. It just blew me away. I'm sitting there laughing so hard. If anybody would have known my laugh, they would have said, there's Farley in the third row laughing his crazy head off. And it is so funny how this movie is arranged. It's about this couple of soulmates that gets married, and the husband dies premature. And when he finds himself in the Akashic stream, he gets very upset because he was just in the middle of getting married and getting his wife diamond earrings. And he just caught this judge doing something fraudulent to New York or wherever he lived, Washington or wherever he lived. And it was like a premature death. It was like something that wasn't meant to happen. So he arranges to come back right away because he blew it and he gets very upset. And he comes back, but, you know, the closest he could come to Washington, D.C., where he was married, and his wife ended up pregnant right before he died, right? And he comes back to Cleveland, and then 23 years later, modern day, he's grown up, you know, Robert Downey Jr., he graduates Yale, and he's going to Washington to try to get a job at the newspaper. Well, one thing leads to another, he runs into this woman who he was married to 23 years later. His daughter is now 22 and falls in love with him because she recognizes some kind of attachment. And yeah, it's pretty spooky. I'm sitting there laughing, being validated all the way through. So I kind of think maybe some of the producers and writers of Chances Are and the director either may relate to what we talk about here in the Astrology Hour, or at least they relate to the philosophies that we teach here in this show. So that movie is definitely one that you want to go see, because it is the best movie next to Heaven Can Wait that I have seen that validates and actually confirms reincarnation. And it's funny that in the movie, even Ryan O'Neal and a couple of the co-stars there have trouble dealing with Robert Downey having all these remembrances. Like, he ends up in his own house with his wife and his daughter, and because they forgot to give him the shot of forgetfulness before he was born, they give you this, we self-hypnotize ourselves before each life, so we forget it all. The soul was in such a hurry to come back, he didn't forget it all. So when he was put in his home, next to all of his belongings, and his pictures were all intact and everything, it all came back. And he goes up to this woman who's 23 years older than him, and he goes, I'm your husband, I'm Louie. And she, right away she goes, of course, she's been in love with this guy the whole time and has never let go. So she doesn't want some fool to come across and say that he's her husband. But it's really funny, and it's a great statement on reincarnation. And you know what this means? What this really means to me, because the science of reincarnation and because the issues and philosophy and concept behind coming back in another lifetime has a fundamental root and foundation that is laced with metaphysics, or evolution of the soul, path of the soul, and experiences of the soul, and also with a foundation of astrology, which helps alert us to the designs of karma, and also to the designs of uniqueness and character and separation, as far as the illusion of separation, as we try to act out different roles. Even though we all have the same God self inside of us, we still act out different roles in a particular life cycle, and astrology and metaphysics helps us understand how this process works. Well, the reason why I'm so excited about this movie is because you figure this is a movie out that is so exciting and so popular, and it's making so much money, and millions of people are going to see it right now, and they love it. Now, what does this say for society? Just like the blockbuster Heaven Can Wait years ago, which was another movie about a Los Angeles Rams quarterback that came out that was also the remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which is one of the first movies ever done a reincarnation. But as we approach the 90s and the next century, the 21st century, it fascinates me to note that no longer are people that believe in reincarnation or teach it looked at as fools or as charlatans or as individuals that may have a mental problem or a psychological problem. In fact, investors are dumping millions of dollars into writing, producing, directing, and getting top-notch stars to act in these metaphysical exposés, which I really feel is a major trend of the future. If you want to know what one of the positive effects of the grand conjunction of the meeting of Saturn, which is karma, Uranus, which is the awakener, which is what the topic is all about today, and Neptune, which is the illuminator, when you get the karma, awakening, and illumination all together in one sign, Capricorn, which has been so practical and logical and commonsensical and ridiculously material and limiting and constrictive and contracting, you have these three planets, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, in line in Capricorn. If you had a telescope, you could see them all. It's just beautiful to see them all lined up like that. And it just blows away anything Capricorn has ever been on this planet or any power that Capricorn has affected. It reminds me of Mike Rilsky, MR, my good pal, my best buddy, one of my best buddies in the world who I talked to early this morning, 5 in the morning in New Jersey, and I'm here at 2 in the morning in L.A. He just gets off of work, and he works at Trump's Castle, and I call up my old pal MR, right? And this guy, triple Capricorn, sun, moon, and rising. This is the guy I was living with when I had my rebirth, when I went through my divorce and trauma and ulcer and anorexia and all that stuff. And I'm living with him, and he's a bartender, and he's coming home wasted every night with a different girl. And I'm sitting there studying astrology and meditation and finding some truth here. Talk about Mr. Skeptic. This guy is an epitomization of what the negative side to Capricorn was, the doubting Thomas. We find people that have Capricorn force in their chart the most skeptical of all the people you'll ever meet. When they turn the corner, when a Capricorn essence person finally makes the choice to believe and embrace something like astrology, metaphysics, and New Age thought, look out. Needless to say, MR is not only an I Ching reader today, here 14 years later, he's also an astrologer. He can do the math, which I can't even do, right? The guy has enough brains to do that. He reads tarot. He's a meditator. He's into crystal consciousness and psychic and spiritual awareness. Do you know why? Because after living with Farley Malaris long enough, for a couple years we were roommates, and after sitting there and talking to me enough about this, he finally proved for himself that it works, because I showed him how it works. The Astrology Hour by Farley Malaris in person with private audience Michael Rilsky. And that really, knowing that, by living with him and experiencing that Capricorn force, it taught me about Capricorn, how they like to suffer, and how sometimes they like to suffer because they don't like to see the forest through the trees. And you know, you don't have to be a Capricorn sun sign to have Capricorn energy. You can be like me. I'm a doubting Thomas. I have Sun, Mercury, and Pluto in the 10th house. Any 10th house planets also is synonymous with Capricorn energy, so I am very much like a Capricorn and a practical, commonsensical sort of person, and even took me a while to turn the corner with astrology and metaphysics because I had to be totally traumatized by a horrible, scandalous, controversial divorce and a severe health problem before I finally found it and said to myself, wow, this is what it's about. Okay, I'm there. See? So it's interesting to note that the closer that Saturn, now at 13, and Neptune, now at 12, and Uranus at 5, the closer they get together, the more, what I would say, illumination and awakening we could be subject to on a grand scale. You can imagine how appalled people that are fundamentalist religion Christians, or maybe even some other sects of religions, would be to see a movie like this about reincarnation. They might walk out. That the mere hint of somebody dying and coming back in another body should be made in these three movies. Chances are Here Comes Mr. Jordan or Heaven Can Wait, plus many other movies that have been out. But I really feel that this is a trend. You know, movies like E.T. that instead of showing us a negative side or a hostile side or a violent side of extraterrestrials, actually showed us the possibility that they may be gentle and tender and caring and loving. Not to say that all extraterrestrials are like that, but here during the beginning of the Age of Aquarius, we are entering a period now in our history, in our world's history, where we are finally being able to open our minds, let go of some of this dogmatic thought and dogmatic thinking that we feel has been so good for the planet. I take a look at the state of Earth, and it appalls me. It disgusts me. It nauseates me as to what the state of this planet is. And yet you have all those flag wavers out there, religion wavers out there that are saying, we're in trouble, you know, and we're dying, and the world's coming to an end, so you better accept the word, and you better accept this. Or what? We're going to be punished more than we are? As far as I'm concerned, this is the closest thing to hell I can see, right? But they're out there preaching their gospels and such, and I'm not putting that down, because I do think that is important. Because after you're an atheist, you have to believe in something, so maybe you should become a born-again or whatever. And then eventually, if there's hope for you, then you can open your mind, sit comfortably through a movie like Chances Are, or Here Comes Mr. Jordan, and then come out of here and go, yeah, okay, let me think about that. Let me wonder about that. Everything else in the world has a rhythm. If you take a look at your own life, relationships come in, and then all of a sudden, relationships go out, and relationships will come in. Even if you're married, it seems like the marriage is real close, then after a while, you're celibate to each other for a while, and then you're real close. And it's like everything, the breathing, the repetitive breathing we do, and the heartbeat, and the way the planets all boomerang around the sun over and over. Everything is a repeat or a repetition. So it logically dictates in my mind, in my Spock mind, that we must be repeats too, which means we, just like the tides and the breath and the beating heart and the planets, do definitely and most certainly come back. And that's why investors spend millions of dollars, big movie studios spend millions of dollars, listen to this show, pick up philosophy, reading books, and I was happy to see Dick Sutphin's name in the movie when he was out there looking to try to understand what he was going through. You know, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't a metaphysician, but he knew he had come back from another lifetime. So he went into a metaphysical bookshop in Washington, and there was a book by Dick Sutphin that was talking about reincarnation. I thought, far out. Even Dick got his name in this movie. Wonder if he got a residual from that, by the way. But anyway, as you know, we give away Dick Sutphin's book in our 3-month and 6-month starter package. So the thing that's going on here is that, Saturn and Neptune right now are conjunct within 1 degree in Capricorn, and Saturn will go retrograde, and Uranus will also go retrograde. And I was looking actually for a point when we can find them at their closest apogee, when they would be closest together, which looks like the end of this year, we'll have Saturn and Neptune at 10, and Uranus will be at 4, 5, and 6. So actually, when they're pretty much to their closest point, it'll be right there around, right after the summer, September, October, and November. So we're looking for either something to hit the fan on this planet, or for some kind of further awakening or revolution, spiritually speaking or psychically speaking, that will help us become more aware of what is going on. And the most interesting part of this effect, the Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune alignment in Capricorn, which will blow your mind, because if you've heard the shows lately, I've been talking a lot about this left brain, right brain stuff. And you'll notice when I talk right brain, I was focusing more on the fire, the air, and the water. And then when I talked about left brain, which is conscious thinking and intellectual mind and material world, I was talking about Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus, the earth signs. Well, guess what? Not only does having Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune in Capricorn affect the Capricorns for the better, right? Because they're the ones that are the most stubborn, the most arrogant, the most doubting, but the other earth signs, Virgo and Taurus, are being trined by these Capricorn transits. So you'll find people out there that are so money-oriented and so materially oriented and so focused on things of this dimension, suddenly, guess what? If they have like Venus and Taurus at like 10 and they've focused their whole lives on money and now they're getting Saturn trying their Venus, Uranus trying their Venus, and Neptune trying their Venus, a karma planet, an awakening planet, and an illuminating planet. So if you think about this, what's going on worldwide is the most dogmatic, reserved, conservative, closed-minded sect of our world's population is going through a major transformation transition. That's why if a movie like this can come out, then that means more people are willing to pay for it and see it. Why is that? Because they're being shaken and waked up by these transits, that something is happening in their lives, along with whether it's a Saturn cycle, a midlife crisis, whether it's a 7-year cycle or whatever. A lot of people going through traumas and life changes and midlife transition are being offered the alternative of spiritual growth and spiritual awakening from the trines that Saturn and Uranus and Neptune are bestowing. Guess what happened to me? When I first got into this stuff, I'm just going to be curious here and be sneaky and go back to the 70s when I really rebirthed, when I really got into this stuff. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that I was going through a Neptune transit, because Neptune was in Sag. Neptune is a spiritual planet. And right around the time of my meditation and astrology classes, Neptune in 1976 was from 10 to 15 Sag, trine my Pluto in Leo. Prior to the Earth signs getting it, we had Neptune and Uranus and also Saturn in Sag, waking up the fire signs, which were already enthusiastic and open-minded and wanted this stuff to be sucked up and stuff. So Aries, Leo, and Sag got bathed by this transit real gently. And that ended. Uranus, 7 years in Sag, Neptune about 13, and Saturn 2.5. And finally, now Neptune's gone into Capricorn with Saturn and Uranus, and Neptune will be in Capricorn for 12 to 13 years, Uranus for 7, and Saturn for 2.5. But notice how they're moving together. Saturn has caught up with Uranus and Neptune right as they finished Sag and entered Capricorn, and that's why we're having such a dramatic effect on the fire signs and people with fire planets, Leo, Aries, and Sag, and now the earth signs, the awakening of Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus. That's why I never try to shove anything down anyone's throat, because if you try to teach people astrology and metaphysics and karma, and they're not ready to hear it, then they're going to fight with you, and they're going to argue with you, and they're going to debate, they're going to resist, and they're going to be a problem. But that's why what my purpose is, what purpose I choose to serve, is to be there for somebody when they do turn the corner. People listen to this show for months, and they go, oh, he's a funny guy, he talks about all this stuff. He might hear about this show today and go, maybe I'll check out that movie and see why millions of people are going to see it, or maybe I'll check out that movie and see why millions of people invested millions of dollars into promoting an issue like reincarnation. If it was so ridiculous, why is the plot so perfect and adamant? I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but it will blow your mind as to how many soulmates this guy has. But anyway, it's so funny. It's so funny. He finally gets, oh, I can't tell you. I'm not going to blow it for you, because my friend Roger's listening to the show going, don't tell me how it ends. He always tunes me off when I talk to him about movies. He goes, I don't want to hear how it ends or anything. But the thing is that there is hope for this planet. And I really would like to think that we won't end it all in a big nuclear explosion that is filled with germ warfare and biochemical warfare, which is the negative alternative. Because I really feel that planet Earth in this decade, in fact, in the next couple of years, as we speak, even the next 10 months, is being offered a major choice to grow up, to mature spiritually, and to align itself to the oneness of God that we all share. And in order to do this, to protect humanity and remove the threat of death and murder and bloodshed, when you think about it in realistic terms, we are talking about pulling teeth, because there are some religious sects out there that believe in infidels and would just soon kill you or me or whoever would put them down or religion down or any kind of open-minded thinking. So the alternative to a peaceful coexistence and transformation seems a little frightening, because it appears like this planet's going to have to wipe clean some of the slate before we can go forward. So, unfortunately, with these heavy transits and this awakening, there may be a limited exchange or warfare or biochemical warfare that does wipe out, self-destruct, so to speak, these factions that would resist metaphysical growth and transformation. But at the same time, the positive alternative, which I don't believe there's going to be a nuclear war, I do believe that some of these negative factions have developed sophisticated biochemical and germ warfare that could wipe out many of the major cities and civilizations on this planet. So I do feel that we are on red alert to metaphysically and spiritually transform, at least in this nation, so we can adhere to some proper leadership. And I'm glad that President Reagan used psychics and astrologers, and so did Nancy, because that says something about the people in this country. Maybe he's a little paranoid and worked on defense too hard and boosted up taxes, Social Security taxes and income taxes. But I think it also is good that a lot of people don't know this, that Bush also uses psychic advisors too, which may come out one day. But a lot of people in the government are into that stuff because they know it works. They know that this stuff works and that it's true, and maybe they don't come out and talk about it because they wouldn't be elected president if they did. But still, the awakening is going on, and the choice is obvious. We must either serve humanity and develop technology for humanity's purposes and for its benefit, or we will suffer to the penalty and the karma of erasing and reducing some of these elements in the world that will naturally evolve and be wiped out so that the new age can come to grips on this planet. And I'm not talking war or invasion or revolution, because I just know how karma works. And these people will destroy themselves. They will figure out a way. You'll find the two toughest kids on the block that are arguing about God, and they'll end up killing themselves and their philosophies while they're doing it. I don't have nothing against the Middle East or the nations there, but when I was there over the summer, and there is so much violence and hostility and anger and energy in that aura that I see nothing spiritual in Israel or the Middle East. I'm sorry, but when you go to the Holy Land and everywhere you look, there's Uzis and there's machine guns and AK-47s and shotguns. I don't want to live there. They say go there, but I have a feeling that something very negative is going to happen to that entire epic over there, which we can call the Piscean Foundation, the Age of Pisces. And even though a lot of people do adhere to the Holy Land and stuff, good luck in doing that, because I feel this planet is holy. And I feel all the territory on Earth is special and spiritual, and that we shouldn't limit ourselves. So I'm not putting down anyone that might go there, but you better learn how to shoot, because if you don't, you may get caught in a crossfire one day. Lots of people die over there. The question I'm having for you is, and I notice a lot of people that listen to this show relate to these topics. Why? Because they're having an awakening. And every one of you that's into metaphysics and astrology, except for some of you young kids that are on Easter vacation listening, that have had this awakening at like 2 or 3, you wake up and you go, Mommy, can I get my chart done? I'm 3. I'm sitting there going, really? I'd like to get my chart done at 3. But there are some very special souls that have recently incarnated, a massive leadership generation of children, from like babies up to old people, of course, older folks. But a lot of these kids are very, very aware beings. In fact, a lot of the souls from Vietnam epic have come back already, and a lot of them from a lot of the Holocaust that have occurred have come back, and the wars. And they have something to say. No more war, peace, awareness, metaphysics, God, and all that stuff, oneness. So if you're one of those people that's awakening, maybe astrology or this show can serve as your catalyst. And if that's true, then you might be wise to send away for your astrology chart. The funny thing about astrology is when you start reading about your chart, what happened to me was that I was reminded what I was trying to do with my life. The more I got into my chart, it's like, wow, I finally have the map of what I planned on doing before I was born. The astrology chart and the placement of the planets does delineate your karma and what your mission in life is. By knowing that I have a Scorpio moon with Libra rising, Venus in Cancer, I understand why I am the way I am emotionally and mentally and in relationships, and why I have such enthusiasm and why I can be so extreme. It explains it. So astrology can offer a way, a roadmap for you to receive awesome insight and tremendous awakening. That's another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Hope you liked it. See you real soon, weekdays in the Fox at 12 noon. Bye-bye.